Alex, let me tell you, my wife says that's why I don't have any friends. Right there. Right there is why I don't have any. I'll tell you this. He's been a great sport about it. He's taking a licking. But I'm going to tell you something. You put a microphone in his hand, he's head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, he is that. So thank you for letting me pick on you. I love Bill and Joyce Broom. I mean, listen, that's not preacher talk. That's from my heart. I love these two. I love their love for. They've been kind to us. The banner that you see hanging back there, their church brought to us. And man, what a meeting that we always have had with him. And I was thrilled. I told Marsh I didn't know because we kept waiting to see if Brother Berman was going to feel like coming. He just didn't, you know. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. And everybody kept saying, who's Monday night? Who's Monday night? And I said, I don't know. I just don't know. We'll have an hour of silent prayer. I don't know what to do. You know, and up at Smoky Mountain Jubilee, Brother T.D. was kind enough to invite us up. He and Miss Joy invited us, Marsha and I, up, and we went up there. And I sent him a text. They said, I saw Brother Bill. I never sent him a text. If you get a chance, come see us sometime. You know, we were at the table. And I looked up after the meeting, and he came walking across. And I'm telling you, I don't have visions, and I don't have all these dreams and all that stuff. But when he came walking towards me, honest before the Lord in heaven, it was like the Lord impressed my spirit and said, there is your man. There's your man. I'm telling you, I don't get into drama. You know me. I don't do drama or any of that stuff. But I do know when the Lord impresses my heart. I want you to make welcome my friend, our speaker for the night, the man, Bill Broom.
Just for the record, I didn't get the text till I got home. I didn't have my phone with me on purpose, but I didn't want to leave. The Spirit of God was just moving me toward you. And I told Joyce, I want to see Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia before we leave. I haven't seen them in a while, especially since their time of sickness, and I want to see them. And isn't that good? Isn't God good? Amen. Just the way the Lord works. And to that crowd that's here tonight without a problem, you'll have one when I get through. So just hang on and hang with us, and you'll have some problems before you go home tonight. We are tonight just so grateful for the opportunity to come and worship with you this evening. We love Calvary Baptist Church. We love Brother Berman Cape. You can go ahead and... Do you love Brother Berman Cape? We need to very much be praying for your former pastor, my friend, Chattanooga, and we love Brother Berman so very, very much. And I know his heart, he'd love to be here tonight in the service. And so we love him so much. I do want to, before we begin preaching, I want to thank everyone who sent us a card. Some of you wrote letters, some sent cards and expressed your love and concern and prayers for Miss Joyce and myself. And from our heart to your heart, thank you. Thank you. You'll never know what that means, how much sunshine it'll bring on a rainy day. And it was such a blessing to get all of those cards and the letters. And sometimes, I mean, they would be a stack. So, I mean, we got a multitude of them. I want you to know that, church. Thank you. That is ministry, by the way. Amen. Y'all have to help me tonight. I'll need some help. But that is ministry. Please take your Bible this evening. I love Brother Snyder. I love the diplomats. And it's not very often that I get to be with them and get to speak. And, of course, they come to our church, and they're part of our family. We've adopted them, and we love them so much, so very much. But please take your Bible tonight. Turn in the book of Isaiah, one verse of Scripture, chapter number 24 and verse number 15. Isaiah 24, verse number 15. I want to speak to you tonight on what might be in your mind a strange subject. But I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, glorified fires. Glorified fires. Devil gets a lot of credit he didn't deserve. about anything that happens around the house, we want to blame it on him. Right? The husband, the wife, or the devil, they normally get the credits, you know, for anything that's bad, you know. But, you know, tonight I've come as in reading this, studying the Bible, how that the Bible would say concerning Israel that God handed them over. God ordered this. God did this. I just believe tonight that there are some fires that come in our lives that's ordered of God. Now, if you disagree, well, that's all right. But I really believe that. And I believe tonight when we're finished, you'll have to agree with me. God sends some fire sometime. Now, we want to think, you know, that all the fires are set by this one or that one caused this problem. They set that fire and this one over here set that fire and circumstances set that fire. Sometimes God strikes the match and sets some fires in our lives. Isaiah 24, verse 15, wherefore glorify ye the Lord, where? I said I'll have to have some help tonight. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord
in the fire.
Okay, thank you. Even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you tonight for every song. Lord, every song has had such a wonderful message concerning Calvary, concerning the blood, Lord, that was poured out freely for my salvation. And all of these precious folks here tonight, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming back to Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, I pray tonight, somehow, some way, you would use us tonight just as our instrument. And Lord, some way to help. Lord, some way to encourage. Some way to strengthen through thy Spirit. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's a very low ebb. God, I pray now, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand the verse of Scripture I read in your hearing tonight. I understand that it sets forth the condition of the tribulation period that's coming after the rapture of the church. And I understand that during that period of time, there will be a remnant of people and that remnant of people will go through a lot of fires. I understand that. But from a practical text, all Scripture is given by inspiration, right? All Scripture has a practical test and has the principles that's given for me and for you tonight. And I believe there is a practical text here also. When Isaiah wrote, he said, glorify ye the Lord in the fires. In the fires. God sends some fires for His glorification. And I am of the persuasion tonight that the church is experiencing some glorified fires. Now you may have to think on this, or maybe it'll hit you about 3 in the morning. But I just believe that that's going on. There's about 3 reasons I want to give you. There are 3 thoughts I want to share with you about these glorified fires. Why would God send a glorified fire? I said a fire that glorifies God is a glorified fire. Am I making any sense at all? And so God at times, now God's going to get himself glory. And I am convinced that in these days that God is sending some glorified fires into the church. God, listen, God hasn't walked away from the church. God hasn't absented himself. God's not on the backside of glory. God hadn't taken a vacation from me and you. But God tonight is sending some glorified fires in our direction. Write down number 1. The first reason that I believe that God is sending us some glorified fires is to, this is real deep, stop us. Now that's real deep, wasn't it? God sends some glorified fires to stop us. You say, what do you mean by that? All through the Bible, you'll find God not only ordered the starts, God ordered the stops. And I believe there's some things in the church tonight that God is saying you need to stop. I remember, will you excuse me for using just a personal reference, not for sympathy, but just to convey to you the working of the Spirit of God in recent times in my life. Back in the November of Thanksgiving, during the Thanksgiving period of time, just prior to Thanksgiving, I was diagnosed there with pancreatitis and put in the hospital, and they removed all my food and all my drink for 16 days with nothing to eat or nothing to drink. And I began to think and question, God, why are you stopping me? Why is this going on? What in the world is happening that's causing this? And you know, you take a checklist and you go down and you do all the checking. Lord, have I sinned? And you go down this wrong checklist and you begin to think of it. And then as I lay there in the bed one night and things begin to grow worse, and the doctor came around and said, Mr. Broom, said, do you know you're very, very sick? Do you understand that you may not make it? Do you understand that, Mr. Broom? I said, yes, sir, I understand that. But I'm laying there thinking, I'm going to make it. It's already made for me. I don't have to worry about that. And then another doctor came by and he said, Mr. Broom, I'm not going to let you die. And I thought, well, I appreciate that. I really do. Do all you can. I vote for that. I really will. But the real truth and the real essence of the truth is, I don't think my life is in your hand. And so I lay there late that night. And as I lay there very late that night, what I haven't said yet is that prior to this time, I'd had a meeting with the men at church and told them that I'm coming up on 72 years old and it's time for me to retire. And it's time for me to not sit down and quit, but still do some preaching, perhaps evangelistically preaching, but as far as pastoring, I said, it's time for me to recess. It's time for me to take a little ease. But as I lay there that night, and the night began to wear on, and the darkness came, dear friend, it got very late. I began to drift out into a state. They said my pain, I don't know this, they said my pain was so great that they had me on pain medicine that was seven times stronger. Stronger than heroin. Boy, there's some folks that would like to have had some of that. Man, I had it going on. And then in addition to that, I had another pump. And on that pump, I had morphine every 10 minutes kicking in. So, I mean, I got it going on, you know, here. And they're telling me I'm going to die. Well, you don't really worry a whole lot about it with all that help. And so I'm laying there and all of this is going on. And late that night, I began to drift into a state. I don't know, Brother Jimmy, what state it was. I could not say, and I'm not here to describe it, but I went into a state, and I began to cry in that state, and I began to pray in that state, and I said, God, it seemed to me that I was right on the threshold of crossing over from death into the eternal life. And as I lay there that night with all of that medicine and medication and no food and no drink for some 15 days, I lay there and the doctor saying, you may not make it through the night. As I lay there, I begin to weep and I begin to cry. And I said, oh God, now some of you would be more spiritual than I am. But I said, oh God, I'm going to miss Miss Joyce. I don't want to leave her. I don't want to leave her. And then I said, God, I just believe I might have another sermon. I believe I might have another message. I believe I might ought to preach just a little bit more. I believe there ought might be something else that you could do for me. And I want to tell you something. When I came to and I regained my consciousness, when I looked around my bed, there was preachers and there was deacons that had surrounded my bed. And they were praying, oh God, save our preacher. Oh God, heal our preacher. I want to tell you something. God ordered some stops and God stopped me. I had to go back and say to the men, I believe I might make it another year or so. You call me too. And everyone, listen to this now. Now my wife, she won't lie. And she's here as a witness. We had some 16 local pastors, Brother Snyder, that came and gathered around. 16 pastors. I didn't know I had that many friends in Chattanooga. And I'm not sure all of them was my friend. But God sent them up there and they surrounded that bed. And every one of them said this in unison. Satan's trying to take you out. God's not good through with you in New Haven yet. Did they say?
Every one of them said the same thing. And then you call. And you say the same thing. We need you, Brother Bill. Boy, what a friend. I want to say this tonight. God orders the stops. I am convinced that I would not be here tonight had I not said, okay, Lord. God. There's times, listen, when the fires get hot. There's times when the old body gets weak. There's times when you become frail. There's times when you just feel like you can't get up and go on. You've preached your last message. You've gone your last mile. You just feel like, oh God, it's time. But God says, I went all the way, even unto the end of the way. I didn't quit on you, boy. You better not quit on me. I didn't stop on you. You better not stop on me. You've got another message that we'll preach. If you'll yield yourself to me, I'll heal you. And can I tell you something? The very next day, things begin to turn around. And the same doctors that said you may not make it, said it looks like you might make it now. Yeah, thank you, Doc. How encouraging you are. Amen. And the doctor that said, I'm not going to let you die. Boy, he's really, you know, throwing his chest out. Can I tell you, it wasn't him or them, but it was the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. God ordered a stop. My point is this. God will stop me. God will stop you when you're going in the wrong direction. He had to stop Israel, his own elect. Can I tell you, he has to stop preachers sometimes. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. He has to stop families sometimes. You're going in the wrong way and God's got to stop that. He's got to stop some things sometimes at the house of God that's going on. Dear friend, it shouldn't be going on and nothing is hid from Him. Nothing's in no secret chamber isolated from Him. And God knows exactly what's going on in the heart and what's going on in activity. And God has to put some stops out here. God has to stop us. And He does it to bring Him glory. He does it to bring Him glory. I can tell you that our church has taken on a spirit of revival since that time. People, nobody was being saved. Sure, I was giving them 3 points and a poem every Sunday. Getting them out at 12 o'clock. I mean, we're still singing them same 5 songs we sing every week. Is that okay? No offense, brother. He paid me well to say that. No, I'm just kidding you. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding you. My point is we get comfortable in our comfort zone. We have a prayer time on Sunday morning. It had dwindled down to basically of the few faithful ones. But can I tell you that when we went back, and the doctor told me, he said, until the first of the year, he said, you can't do nothing. But then he said, you can preach a little sermonette. So I'm still on a sermonette tonight. So that's what I've been on now for some time, because I still have an enlarged pancreas and I still have cyst on it and still have fluid in it. Whatever that means, I don't know. It don't really make no difference. It don't hurt me, so it's okay. It can hang around if you want to. But I'm still on a sermonette tonight, so you'll excuse me for that. But we've got to let God put some stops. There's some things that the child of God... Listen, Jesus is coming. Y'all understand? Jesus is coming. It's time to quit playing church. Right? Can I tell you, you was talking about the healing? Can I tell you, the Pentecostals don't have a corner market on healing. I know you are one, and that's a good thing. But I'm going to tell you something. The Baptists tonight can have some healings again too. If we'll let God order some stops. And the Bible said that such cometh by much fasting and much prayer. When you that raise your hand, if you'll come to the pastor and say, I want to get together and order a fast. I want to get together and order some prayer time. I want to get together and bow my knee again. I want one more time hear from heaven. I want to have a I want to talk to God one more time. If you'll come see pastor and you'll get together with him and cry out to heaven again, heaven will come down and God will send a glorified fire and God will do some healing. Cancer will have to leave him. Old demons. You've come too late to tell me any different. I mean, I'm stretching the cat with nine lives. I mean, they've taken out colon with colon cancer. A crazy horse I had, he broke my pelvic bone. I got through that one. And then got where I couldn't breathe. And that's pretty essential. You know, got where that was a problem and went to see Doc. And listen, the doctor I went to see, I passed every test they had. They put me on this stress test. What do they call it? Y'all have that down there? It's a special kind of a stress test they put you on. And they put me on that. I passed that test. My cardiologist said, but I have a gut feeling. Something's not right. I mean, I done passed this battery of tests. I got all my money. And he says, I think we better do an arteriogram. I said, what does that do? He said, that tells us what's wrong. Yeah. He said, that tells us what's wrong. I said, well, that sounds like that might be what we should have done back 3 months ago. Y'all have them kind of doctors down in Atlanta too, don't you? Yeah. So they do that and they come back and they say, you got one artery delivering 20% of blood to your heart. Just one. You need about a 6 bypass. You remember that one? A couple of years ago. You all prayed for me for that one. They went in to do the 6 bypass and they couldn't get enough material out of my legs to do the 6, so they did a 4. Said, get by the best you can. I'm getting by pretty good. God has had this. I mean, maybe y'all aren't like me, but God has to stop me a bunch of times and get my attention. He has to neutralize my mind. He has to come to me. He has to bring me back to where he is. I have to get back right with God again and again and again. You see, I get to go to my comfort zone. I get nailed down to doing the same thing week after week. And but God is saying, I want revival. I want jubilee. I want something happening around the house. I'm tired of coming together with you folks week after week and nothing happening. I'm tired of you bringing in the groups and you're bringing in the preachers and you're bringing this one and this one and this one. But unless I show up, it don't matter who the preacher is. It don't matter who the singer is. It don't matter what's going on at your house. Unless I show up. I'm glad he's been showing up around the house lately. God ordered some stops some time ago. And I'm going to move on. I'm sorry. Not long ago, well, it's been some time ago, fella was coming down the road and his car broke down. Corey, that sounds bad, don't it? His car broke down. And guess what? It was on Sunday morning and his car broke down. So he comes into the church. That sounds pretty good there now. And he comes into the church and church service goes on. The man comes and he gets saved. And then he says, can I give a word of testimony? That scares the preacher sometimes. I said, 5 minutes and I pull your coattail. So I let him have it, Brother Teddy. And you know what he got up and said? He said, I was on my way to an appointed destination to take my life. Now, He didn't come in. The car broke down and he came for help. I'm talking about multiplied grace and mercy. Some of y'all ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Don't you remember sometime when your car broke down? You wasn't looking for God. You wasn't searching for God. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, whose grace fills his heart, God, whose eyes is full of love, God looked upon you, and God looked upon me, and God shut the car down, and God stopped it, and brought you into his presence, that he might bless you. I like them glorified fires. I'm getting where I'm not complaining hardly as much. Because I'm getting so old that I about finally get it. Every time one of them fires starts up, Jesus is a fourth man. Just start looking. You'll find him in that every fire that starts up. You'll find that fourth man in there. And you read about him, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah. You know what happened? Y'all know. Can I tell you? Wait, let's move on. Listen. Those glorified fires come, number one, to do what? To stop us. Stop us. They come, number two, write this one down. You don't want to, but do it anyway. Write down this word. They come to shame us. I read a story of a young preacher just graduated from seminary, just got his degree, and I believe a person ought to get all the education they can and can all they can get. I believe that. I don't believe education can give you the axe, but it sure can sharpen it. And you ought to get it sharp as you can. One thing I like about these guys, you do your best, and you worship. But here was this young fella, and he's got the credentials, you know, he got the papers. Graduated from seminary, he came home to his hometown. Local pastor heard that he was home. Sent him an invitation to come over and preach on Sunday morning. He began to think about it. He said, those folks over there, country, those folks over there, they've never heard an educated preacher like me. When I get through with them, that church will never be the same. And that fellow comes over to the church. Comes in that Sunday morning, it comes time for the preaching. He marches up proud and pious, stands before the pulpit, and begins to blast the people, blast their past, begins to throw rocks, and he noticed several of them getting up and leaving. He makes some off-color remarks about that, and he continues on, and he noticed some others are dropping their heads, some are looking at their watches. Finally, he became so humiliated that he just closed his Bible, turned around to the preacher, and said, there's no help for this church, and went and sat down. But conclusion of the service, a real elderly gentleman walked up to him, said, son, can I give you some advice? He said, what's that? He said, son, listen to me. If you had come in the way you went down, you would have went down the way you came in. Amen. Now, y'all get that one. Y'all understand tonight? God, I believe, is looking. We ought to be shamed, humiliated, humbled of what all that God has done through His Son for Bill Broom, Calvary Baptist, New Haven Baptist, Floyd Road Baptist. When we consider our blessings and we begin to count what all that God has done for us, we ought to be tonight filled with humiliation and we ought to be shamed tonight. God sent some glorified fires into my life and your life that we might be humble before Him. You remember that old fellow by the name of Job in the Bible? Got ordered to stop there, didn't he? Was he humiliated? Was he humbled? You say, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, I read about that man. Let me tell you something else. The Bible said also that Job said, that which I have feared has come upon me. There was an area in his life that needed some work on it. And God shamed him. God humiliated him. God humbled him down. But there was three things that old Job knew during that whole time. He knew, number one, he had a hedge about him that couldn't be penetrated. Didn't he? Do we know that tonight? I think so. Do we not know that tonight, church? Aren't you glad that Calvary has put a hedge around us that can't be penetrated? Quit giving the devil so much credit. Hey, he can't get to you unless he comes through the filtering of the blood of Calvary. Secondly, Job knew he had a heart that couldn't be provoked. Brother T.D., I love you. And you've had a heart that no matter what an example, what a statue of excellence he is to me and you. We got a man that just came to our church, 80-something years old. Now he's McDowell, preacher up in Michigan, already parts. I was thinking about him and thinking about you the other day. Boy, I sure am glad for men that have stood all these years. No matter what happened, I'm sure that God has sent some glorified fires in your life and Miss Joy's life. I know you've had to go through something. Sometimes you didn't understand it, but God had a purpose. Oh, you just trusted Him and just kept on keeping on, and your heart was never diminished. Your love for Him was never changed. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? God, give us some people that have some hearts that can't be provoked. When God does humiliate us, when God does humble us down, when God does break us down, that you and I have a heart for God that'll just come us to keep on keeping on. I have never understood how folks can quit on God. There's a man you know, 6'10", without me calling the name, got his name in his Bible, loaded with talent. He's sung down here, loaded, can preach, can sing, loaded. Drinking, partying. But he was at church Sunday morning. And he called me back Sunday evening. Yeah. Him and his wife are divorced now. You knew that. Can I say this? God is going to humiliate me and you and humble us down. If sometimes he has to take the best thing that we got going in our life, God will not allow to go off and become rebels against him if you're truly saved. Job had a heart that could not be provoked. Did you know some of us, somebody can just say not say something and our heart gets provoked. I mean, we come to church with a new suit on, and if everybody don't brag on it, we're going to another church. I wore a brand new suit today, and bless God, nobody noticed my new suit. They don't pay no attention to me. They don't appreciate me over there. Preacher didn't say nothing. Music director, he didn't say nothing about it. Nobody said, I got up and sung, and it's the best I've ever sung that song, and nobody said a word about me. I'm leaving. You see, I've been pastoring too long, all that stuff. Can I tell you tonight, it's not about that. It's about your heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As a man thinketh in his what? heart, soul is he. I don't know. I hope I'm helping us. I don't know. Glorified fires. We all have them. I'm going to hurry on. Number three. I've stopped us. I've humiliated us. Number three. God sends glorified fires to start us. Look at Isaiah 43. Just flip right over there. Just on over page 751 there. A while ago I told you about Job. I said it's three things. I gave you two of them, didn't I? Do you want the third one? He had a harvest that could not be prevented. Just hit my mind. Job had a harvest that couldn't be prevented. God would bless him again, right? That's our third one. God will bless you again. You know, I'm so glad. God's had to knock me down a lot of times. I mean, I go in church and I got skins all over my head. Master George gets all that credit. I mean, God will knock you down, but he'll pick you back up. He'll never leave you down. He'll pick you back up again. Goodness of God. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, you remember Noah? Remember the old ark? I believe she passed through. You remember the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, about 8 miles wide, out about in the center of the point of no return? They began to complain, criticize. Yeah. The Lord said, oh, you little faith. Baptists they were. Notice something, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So number two, notice through the rivers, I believe the children of Israel, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he congealed the waters, rolled back the waters that they might cross over to the other side. And he said, when thou, what's that next word? When thou, are y'all with me? Glorified fires come to stop us. They come to shame us. But they also come to start us. They'll get us going again. When thou walkest, the night may seem like it's not going to end, but joy is coming. Weeping may endure. Your loved ones may stand before the bedside and weep because they're afraid that you're going to fix them to pass over the other side. But oh, when the morning comes, when the light breaks and the sun shines through again, can I tell you, I know what it is to be abased, and I know what it is to be abound. I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to have plenty. God is good all the time. He sends these glorified fires. I think it's verse number 7. Let me find that verse. I want to read this verse to you. I want you to see something. Look at verse 7. Are you with me? Verse number 7. Even everyone. Are you one? Yeah, even every, you understand that? It's God's word. Even everyone that is called by my name. Are you with me? Watch this. For I have created him for my glory. Do I need to read that one more time? Some of y'all are still sitting there. You did not get that. Some of you do not understand that you're not an accident and you're not an incident, but you were made of Him and created of Him, by Him, for Him, unto His glory. Let me read it again. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Brother Jimmy, God made you for His glory. God formed you for His glory. God went to the cross and gave His blood that you minister to folks. Brother Corey, I love you. God made you for His glory. Boy, what a talent. God gave it to you for His glory. He created you. Yeah. God created you. Yeah. God made you. Will you do me something? Turn around to the person next to you and say, God made you. God made you. Don't quit. For His glory. For His glory. God made you for not my glory, but for His glory. So God sends the fires that He might be glorified, for He hath made us for His glory. Does that somehow register? Can we bow our heads? Let me just give you this closing little story, then you bow your heads. Just hit my mind. Just hit my mind. There was an old fella out west. This is true. You probably saw this not long ago. I can't remember if it was in Arizona or Oklahoma. All those tornadoes are hitting out there. I just heard this. Listen, here's an old farmer out there and he lost everything. The tornado came through, leveled his house, leveled his barns. He got up the next morning or came over through the premises the next morning. And he walked out there in the debris, in the rubble. And he walked out and he looked over toward where the hen house used to be. As he looked over there, tears began to come down out of his eyes. And he began to think, I've lost it all. I'm without hope. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. As he stood there, in a few moments, he saw an old rooster come out from underneath all of that rubbish. He was wet. Half of his feathers was gone. He looked like he was from Ringo. I said, you ought to see us sometime. And he came out from under it. You know what that old rooster did? That old rooster reared his head back. And he crowed. You know what the message the farmer said the message was? I still have life. God may send you through a glorified fire. And God may sense the need to remove something that's precious to you. You may be thinking you're tonight that you're on the very bottom. But can I encourage you by saying to you tonight, thank God you still got life. And Jesus said the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy you. But you still got a few feathers left. And you still got a little life left. Jump and worship God.
Bow your heads for just a moment. The Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe you're facing a fire. I don't know. Maybe it's to stop you down some path you're going. First tendency, I guess, is to be a little bit aggravated at God rather than seeing it as